That scratching noise that the mic was making the other night, raise your hand and let me know. That was kind of annoying, but anyways. Isn't the Bible a great book? And a living. I tell you, you read things in here and you just, God just keeps showing new things, and there's not another book like it. You know, it's just, you read it and you read something you've read many times, and you're like, oh, I've never seen it. You know, you hear pastors say it all the time, I'm going to show you something I never noticed before. And how many times? He's read the Bible over 100 times. You know, it's just an amazing book. It really is. We got a lot of scripture to go through tonight. I'm not going to ask you to turn to them all. But we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 6 and Philippians 2. 1 Corinthians 6 and Philippians 2. These are some verses that we all know by heart. I think most of us have heard them, or if you don't know them by heart, you've read them many times, many, many times. And we're just going to start 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then Philippians chapter 2, a couple more familiar verses, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. I thank you for what you've done for us and how you've preserved this word for us through the many generations. Pray now that you'd bless our time around it in your precious name. Amen. All right. You can start working your way over to Psalm chapter 109. Psalm 109. I read those verses because it's just kind of blend in with what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, when you buy a new car, you go to a dealership that, you know, hopefully it's one you've dealt with in the past, and the reason you'd go back there obviously is because they did you right. They dealt with you right the first time. And their name's at stake. You know, you drive any car you see on the road, you can tell where they bought their car. It says, you know, Friendly Chevrolet or Merit Chevrolet or Nissan or Toyota, whatever, you know, Max Junkyard or, you know, just something like that, you know. I know where you got your car. But if they treat you right, you go back there. You know, I like going to a car dealership and you look around and nobody's out. You don't have the guy running halfway across the parking lot. Can I help you? No, I'm just looking, you know. Okay. And then they follow you around like 10 feet away, you know. Oh, you like that car? You like that car? I don't like that. I don't like that. Just let me look around, all right? You know, and then you find one you like, and it's the price range you're looking for, and how about this one? And it's $3,000 more than what you're looking for, you know. And, you know, it's just, but their name is at stake, you know, and they're like, if they treat you wrong, you're not going to go back there. They're going to have a bad name. And it's we need to realize as Christians that we're not our own anymore. We're driving around and, you know, we wear T-shirts that have Scripture on them. We have cars that have Scripture on them. And it's not our name that's at stake. It's Christ. We represent Him everywhere we go. And whatever we do, whatever we say, it's His name that's being affected by whatever we do. You know, you hear it over and over again. It's like, I deal with guys in jail, and they joke around and everything about what they did and everything. I say, you know what? You guys, you don't realize all the people you affected by being stupid. You really don't. You know, they're yelling at their girlfriends on the phone, you know, why aren't you bringing me money? And one day the guy was yelling at his wife or calling his girlfriend or whatever she was, every name in the book. And I pulled him aside. I said, you got a lot of nerve. I said, you broke the law. You got arrested. You ended up in jail. She's got to pick up the slack now and make the money, take care of the house, take care of the kids while you're in here, three hots and a cot. And you're yelling at her about having money for you over here so you can buy a Snickers. Your stupid decisions affect more people than yourself, but we as Christians, our decisions affect Christ. It affects the gospel. It affects the name of God. It's not about us anymore. We are bought with a price. We don't own ourselves anymore. And we talk about the name of Christ, and that's why I read that other scripture. You know, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord of the glory of God. And the name of this is For His Name's Sake. And I was looking through this and looking at all the times it mentions in the Word of God, and it was kind of interesting to see how it worked out that it seems like there was a pattern. I noticed this myself anyways, that there was a pattern that kind of showed from the day we got saved or before we got saved all the way through to the end when we go to heaven. It's kind of interesting to me. Maybe you're saying, well, you're way off your rocker. That doesn't make any sense at all. But anyways, it did to me, so I'm going to enjoy this, all right? You guys can hit the snooze button, whatever, all right? We're going to start, and there's a lot of scripture to go through, so we're going to start right away and get going so we can get home and go to bed. All right? Psalm 109, verse 21, For His Name's Sake. That's where we're going to do this. Verse 21 says, But do Thou for me, O God, the Lord, for Thy name's sake, because Thy mercy is good, deliver Thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. Can you see it here that here's a man, he's just, you know, it made me think of me before I got saved. And I put down here is mercy on a persecuted soul for His name's sake. For His name's sake. He didn't have to save us. You know, we as Christians, there's a lot of people in here that could give a testimony of going out in the world, searching out the things of the world, you know, like Solomon mentioned in Ecclesiastes, trying everything there is to try to see if you could find peace in the world. Drugs, alcohol, music, money, fame, fortune. Look how far it got us. And it came to the point where finally we got to the end of our rope and we looked to God and said, look, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Like it says here, verse 22, For I am poor and needy and my heart is wounded within me. I don't know where to look next. You're my only hope. You're my last chance. And for His name's sake, we called upon Him and He saved us. He rescued us. He showed mercy on our persecuted soul. He didn't have to do that, but He did. Psalm 143, 11 and 12, or verse 11 says, Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, for Thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Isn't that kind of what we prayed when we got to the end? Lord, I'm a mess. I've tried everything there is to try. I've been everywhere I can be. I can't find peace. I can't find anything I need. Please save me. Please save me. And He did. He didn't have to do that. But for His name's sake, He showed mercy on my persecuted soul. Go over to Psalm chapter 25. The first few will go fairly quickly here. This verse is a blessing. Psalm 25, 11. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. How bad was your life when you got saved? What have you done? You know, you've heard testimonies of how great, you know, well, I used to do this and I used to do that. And I just, it sounds like people are bragging about the sin they used to live in. The best testimony I've ever heard, when we were over in Menominee, Wisconsin, we had a missionary to Mexico come in. I believe his last name was Robles. And he was a member of a Mexican gang. You know, and they're talking about this guy for weeks. He's coming and, you know, get ready. And everybody's thinking, oh, the stories we're going to hear. Woo-hoo, this is going to be great. And he got up behind the pulpit and he goes, you know what? I was a member of a Mexican gang. And we're like, all right, here we go. And he goes, but let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. Oh, come on. Feed my flesh, you know? Come on. And he gave a testimony of how he got saved and the Lord put him on the right path. And, you know, I sat back and thought, I said, that's what it's about. It's not about us. We're bought with a price. It's for him anymore. It's all about him. It has nothing to do. Look, the Lord took all my sin and put him under his blood. Why do we need to look under the blood and say, oh, here it is. Look at this one I used to do. Leave it under the blood. Don't dig it out again. That's amazing. Psalm 79:9 says, help us, O God, of our salvation for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. That's a blessing. Our name is gone. Our sin is gone. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. His name's at stake. He said he would forgive our sins if we called on him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name's at stake. God's not a liar. Are we making him look like a liar by the way we live sometimes? We're representing him now. His name is being affected by what we do and what we say. We're supposed to be a testimony for him. It's for his name's sake. He pardons it. Number two, I wrote down, well, the first one is mercy on a persecuted soul. The second one is pardons our iniquity for his name's sake. Because he said he would. And he did. None of us would be here if he hadn't have done that. Praise the Lord. All right. So we have salvation. There it is. Our lives, salvation was for his name's sake. A mercy on a persecuted soul. And he pardoned our iniquities. Now, let's go over to Psalm 23. After we get saved, we need direction. We need counsel and teaching. Verse 3, I heard this verse many times. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's our shepherd. He walks along us with a staff, and if we get off track, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. And if we get out of line, he takes a staff and just kind of hits you on the side and say, come on, get back in track here. You're getting out of line. But he does it for his name. His name's at stake. It's for him. It's nothing about us anymore. We're bought. The dealer can't come over and, hey, I need to borrow my car again here for a couple days. Do you mind? It's like, no, it's mine now. It's my car. It's got your name on it, but you can't have it back. The Lord says, you're my son. I'm not going to give you back, but you got to follow what I do here. I'm going to lead you down the paths of righteousness, and you got to follow because my name's at stake here. It's for me now. It's for my name. You got to live the way I want you to live. You don't just read the book. You got to live the book. You got to follow it and do what I ask you to do. It's just like instructions at work. You got to do what I ask you to do. Bible says in Psalm 31:3 says, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. That should be every one of our prayers. I want to be like Christ. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to live like Christ. I got a long ways to go, but for his name's sake, I want him to lead me and him to guide me. Every one of us can give a testimony in here of when we get in trouble or do something stupid, it was our own decision. We stopped following the Lord and what he wanted us to do, and we got off on our own little track. So for direction and counsel, we have salvation. For number three there, I put he leads in the right paths. Mercy on a persecuted soul. He pardons our iniquity. Then he leads us in the right paths, just like he did when we got saved. What a blessed Savior. What a great God we serve. Now let's go over to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. It's unfortunate. Once we've been saved for a while, if you get in, maybe you get into a bad church, maybe you get a bad attitude, maybe somebody did you wrong, and you get bitter towards that person, and it affects your Christian life and the way you walk and talk, and the Christian life starts to get old. That's what we see here. Psalm 106, verses, at least I saw it there anyway, 6 through 8. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. You know, I put down for this one, number four, performs undeserved works of mercy and wonder. We don't deserve what he does for us. Every one of us has seen an answer to prayer, like the dear lady shared with us about her stroke, and now she's here, able to talk to us and get around. And what a blessing that is. It's for his sake. It's for his sake that we're even here. It's his sake, his mercy, that the blood's pumping through our veins and we're able to breathe and talk to each other. That means we still have a purpose here on earth. God's got us here for something to do yet, or we wouldn't be here. And he shows these undeserved works of mercy and wonder. You think of the children of Israel while they're at the edge of the Red Sea, you know, and they're all, you know, just like us. Oh, we should have stayed in Egypt, you know. They had a Krispy Kreme, and, you know, and here we are, and, you know, we got to order for $5 pizza, and, you know, I'm sick of pizza. And, I'm just tired of this. You know, I'm tired of serving the Lord. I've never seen anybody get saved. And, oh, he's in my seat. And, you know, this just stinks. And, the thing is, God could have wiped out that whole country and said, you know, I am so sick of this. Okay, next, you know. And they'd have all been gone. But you know what was going on there? On the other side of a big pillar of fire were a bunch of unbelievers, a bunch of Egyptians. They couldn't hear the murmuring. They couldn't hear the crying. They couldn't hear the whining and the, you know, and all the, you know, guys sitting, sucking their thumbs, you know, they just, oh, come on. But they couldn't see that. They couldn't hear that. If he would have wiped them out right there, they would have gone, whoa. I wouldn't want anything to do with that God. But meanwhile, he stares at them through that fire, that pillar of fire, and just kind of just say, watch this, and makes a way for his children to go through the Red Sea. And they just, whoa, check that out. Look at the power of their God, because his name was at stake. It was for his name's sake. He didn't just wipe the Israelites out and say, you know, I'm going to start over again. I'm going to get somebody that's going to listen to me. I'm tired of the whining, the complaining, the murmuring. You just kind of like, shut up. But those people, some of those people might not believe, because if I wipe you out, they're not going to want anything to do with me. So I'm going to make a way for you through, because my name's at stake here. And he made them a way through. And how many times do we complain? How many times we murmur and complain about things that just, they really don't matter. We step back and think about it, and it's just like, you know what? That was pretty stupid. What a big baby. What a big baby. No wonder people made depends, huh? Isaiah, you turn over to Isaiah chapter 48. This just kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, not the depends part. Isaiah 48, verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. I am the God. I am the God those the heathen need. I am the God that the unsaved need to go to. I'm not going to pollute my name by making a bad choice. Like, well, God doesn't make any bad choices anyways. I'm going to defer my anger. Imagine God being angry. I just wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. I really wouldn't. I've been yelled at. I remember my football coach, my junior year in football. Man, living. There was two guys ahead of me, two seniors that played a starting line ahead of me. And I'm like, well, I don't have a chance. So I just nonchalantly went out there and run a play and block a guy and just let him go. You know, and the first game of the season, the starting lineman, the senior, one of the seniors, separated his shoulder four times, ran off the field, popped it back in, and went back in again. So if you didn't figure it out, he was out for the season. He's gone. And the coach wanted somebody to take his place. So the next Monday in practice, I get out there. I'll try to make this short. And I went out and I did the same thing. We were running this play and went out and hit the guy and he went down and he got the tackle. And I said, okay. And I started walking back to the huddle and I see this shadow coming up on my right side. And he's 6'7". This guy, he almost made the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a big man. And all of a sudden this hand comes around my face mask. You know, and he pulls me up and he just starts pounding on my helmet. You lazy, good for nothing, blah, blah. He just laying into me, and I'm just like, you know, just like a rag doll, you know, and I'm just like, and that, it scared me to death. He put me on the line. I knocked the next guy off the field. He said, that's what I'm looking for. And I got the start. And the rest of the time, that kind of stuck with me. But could you imagine being on the other end of the anger of God? Unreal. He holds the universe in his right hand. I hope he doesn't get an itch, you know? He holds the... And for him to be angry at us, you just kind of go, no way. He said, but I defer my anger because my name's at stake. If I knock you out, there's going to be people that won't believe in me. You're my only hope. You're my only hope to start. You're my only hope to witness to that guy. You're the only Christian in that whole workplace. You're the only good, solid Christian in that school. I need you in that spot. Don't make me angry. I just couldn't, but he defers his anger because his name's at stake. He needs you where you're at. What a loving Savior. What a loving Savior he is. Go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Aren't you glad he didn't live in the Old Testament? None of us would be alive. Man, living. Well, I wouldn't be alive. I don't know. I can't speak for you. I know you guys are really good. Verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen. Pretty amazing. Verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen. Verse 19. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them and accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen. Three times. They rebelled against him. They did what he didn't want them to do. They went totally, they polluted what he said. They drug it through the gutter. But he couldn't kill him because his name, it was his name's sake. I can't do it because those Egyptians need me as their God. They just don't know it. And if I wipe them out, they're not going to want anything to do with me. There again, I don't want to pollute my name in front of the heathen. So I'll hold back my anger for my name's sake. All right, now number five, let's go over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'll try to hasten on here because we've got a lot to do. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Here he made Israel his people, and they keep turning aside, they keep polluting his name and wanting to do what's wrong and turning away from him. He's just getting sick of it. It's over. You read it throughout the Old Testament. But you're my people. I'm not gonna forsake you for my name's sake. I'm not gonna let you go. It's just like when we got saved. We mess up. We sin here and there. We make bad choices and bad decisions. And he says, you know, this is about the third time this month now you've been to me about this sin. It's starting to get old. But you're my son. You're the child of God. You're mine. You belong to me. I'm not going to forsake you. We can get through this if you just turn to me and listen to what I say. Hear what the preacher's saying. Do what the Bible says. Pastor doesn't get up here and just waste his breath every time he gets up here. He's up here for a reason and a purpose. And he preaches what he preaches for a purpose. Excuse me. Somebody out here needs what he's saying. And it's to guide you in the right way. And I wrote down, he will not forsake his own for his name's sake. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why is that? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's for his sake. It's because I can sit here and say, the Lord is my helper. That's how I got through that problem. That's how I got through this difficulty in my life. These struggles I'm facing, the depression I face, the things that get me down, going to work and hearing the world around me all day long just press in on me, hearing the language and the stories, and it gets old and it wears on you, but I got the Lord to get me through it. Every one of us have the Lord on our side, and he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have something that the world needs. When they come up and say, how is it you can come to work and smile and laugh and be in a good mood all the time? Because look, I got the Lord on my side. I have something steadfast. I have something that's concrete. I have a solid foundation. I used to have a foundation that was just sand, wood, hay, and stubble, and there was nothing I could build on it. But now I have something I know is true and right. And you, let me tell you about it. Well, you know, I'll sit here and see how solid it is when this comes into your life. That's what they're looking at. And we can say, I got the Lord. He can get me through this trouble. No matter how deep the sorrow, no matter how deep the pain, no matter how hard it might be, you may be going through the flow all by yourself against the world, but you have the Lord on your side. What was that Bob Jones Sr. said? Me and the Lord are a majority. We can take on anybody. We just need to believe that. But his name's at stake. He's just waiting. He's sitting over in the shadows and saying, come on, just ask me. Bring it on. Let's go. I'll show you I'm real. Let me show you how I'll fight that fight for you. Let me show you how real I am. So number five I put down, he will not forsake his own. Number six, turn over to Luke 21. Also along those same lines in Psalm 37:25, it says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. What a blessed verse that is. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 verses 12 and 13. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. That verse 13 really stuck out to me. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Can you imagine what the apostles went through? Being brought before kings and rulers, saying, you're going to go to prison, you're going to get your head chopped off, you're going to get killed for the cause of Christ. And it says there, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. I can just see that. They make the accusations towards one of the disciples, and all the heads turn to him. What are you going to do? You going to deny Christ? What is it going to take for you to step down? Number six, I put, we will be afflicted for his name's sake. Many of us, a lot of us have been out street preaching. Somebody yells some obscenity out the window. You know, that's a big deal. Somebody comes up to you and confronts you to the face. That's a little more personal. You know, I don't know, we had somebody get, somebody took a swing at somebody here a couple years ago. It's for the Lord. What are you going to do? When that happens, all the faces turn towards you. What are you going to do now? You going to curl up and run away? Or are you going to stand there and preach about your Savior? You going to sit there and give a testimony saying, dish it out, man, but I got the truth and you need to hear it. Bring it on. Need to be ready for anything. You go down to that Basilica block party and hear some of the things they say. Well, I'm a Christian. I don't think you should do it that way. Really? Why don't you get sober and get right with God and come back and talk to me? You know, and they threaten you and with bodily harm. It's unbelievable. And they're going to a church for a beer party. Come on. Really? But that's how far gone people are. It's just unbelievable. I'm kind of getting off the subject here. But you will be afflicted. You know, we may not face death, but we might. The way things are going in this country, the people that are letting into this country, we may face something like that before the days are over. But God's got us here for this day. And all heads are going to turn to us for our testimony. What are we going to do? Are we going to keep His name lifted high? Are we going to keep, you know, we've all read the stories of the, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs and these guys, what they went through and pray, singing hymns as they're being burned to death. Are we going to be able to do that? I'm not saying it's going to come to that, but we don't know. We don't know what the end's going to hold. Acts 9:16, I'll just read these real quick. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake, talking about the Apostle Paul. Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Luke 21:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. This country does not like God right now. They like God how they think God is. They like God for who they think He is, but they don't like the God of the Bible. They don't like to hear about their sin. They don't like to hear about Jesus Christ. So number 7, I put down, we need to preach about the truth for His name's sake. Turn over to John 15 real quick. Two more points here. John 15. So we're mercy on a persecuted soul for His name's sake. Pardons our iniquity. Leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He performs undeserved works of mercy and wonder. It's just like when we got saved. It's just like a pattern. We got saved. We needed direction and counsel. It starts to get old, but He still works in our life. He still leads us on. He still wants us. We see God's goodness when He'll never forsake us. He's never going to leave us alone. Even when we mess up, He's like, you know, you need to get that right, but I can still use you. I can still use you where you're at, but you need to get right. You need to get that straight. My name's at stake here, and I need you in the fight. I need you where you're at. Revived. We get things right. We start to realize, as you get older in the Lord, and you start to realize the fight that we face and that souls really are dying and going to hell. They really are. And you start to see that, and you start, I got to hand out tracts. I'm scared to death, but I got to hand tracts out. I'm scared to death to stand out here and yell at cars or yell at people going by and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ, but I got to do it. I got to do it. And he it's just like a revival happens in your heart, and you realize the necessity and the seriousness of the hour, and that there's souls dying and going to hell. And you get revived, but you're going to get afflicted. There's many people in here that are taking flack from their family, hardcore flack, and just getting beat up because their family is tired of hearing about the truth. They're tired of hearing the truth. Isn't that something? It's just hard to imagine. It really is. But we need to preach about the truth. John 15, starting verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You know, they were ticked off at Jesus because he told them who they were and that they were sinners. He took their sin and made it public. He probably didn't say their names. He probably didn't say, you're guilty of this sin, you're guilty of this sin. He just said, you're guilty of these sins. And they brought it out, and they're like, oh, and it just pricked them in the hearts. And they get rid of this guy, because it says in there, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They were mad because they were displayed on public. This is who these people are. And they're like, oh, how dare you? We got to get rid of this guy. You know, we need to stay true. We need to stand true and preach the word, preach the truth for his name's sake. They need to hear it no matter how much they hate it. They need to hear it. Okay, last one. And that's as far as Christians, persecution is going to come your way. It's just a matter of time. It may be the boss may not like what you're saying at work, or your friends or your family may be tired of it and start calling you names and saying things about you. But you have to keep at it because it's for his name's sake. They need to hear the name of Christ and where they're going to spend eternity if they forsake his name and forsake the truth. Okay, turn to Ezekiel again, chapter 20. Last point. I found this kind of cool. Ezekiel chapter 20. Maybe I'm way off base on this, but I got a blessing out of it. I got a blessing out of being off base. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 42 through 44. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up my hand and to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. After all the mess that Israel created, all the rebellion they displayed against God and his word, all the times they went against him and said, no, we got a better idea, or they intermingled with the people in the land of Canaan, he still brought them over the river to the promised land, and they loathed who they were. And he said, boy, we really messed up, and God still brought us in here. Man, look at how dirty we are, but he still led us to the promised land. He still brought us in. I can't believe this. And they just humbled. It humbled them. And it says, we will be humbled by his mercy for his name's sake. We may live a Christian life that's probably not what it should be for the Lord. And I don't say this next point to give anybody permission to live any way you want to live. If you really get to know the Lord and what he did for you, you wouldn't want to live the way you're living. You wouldn't want to live wrong. You don't want to do what's wrong. But no matter how bad we live as Christians, if you're truly saved, one day the trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to see him face to face. He's going to bring us to heaven, and we're going to get there and say, man, I'm just filthy. But he still brought me home. He still brought me here for his name's sake. He promised me a home in heaven if I accepted him as my Savior. And here I am. All the times I messed up, all the things I did wrong, all the times I rebelled against his word and did what I wanted to do, and he still brought me home. I'm still here. What a great God. But it was for his name's sake he did that. What a sad thing it would be for it to all be fake. But he's proven himself true so many times that I know it's not. He's answered prayer. He's led in my life. He's guided me through life. Just when you think you're looking for answers, he shows me something in the scripture, or somebody tells you something out of the scripture, or pastor preaches a message and it's right to you. I know it's real. And no matter how messed up I am, one day that when that trumpet sounds, I can see him face to face. You know, people are like, I can't wait till God comes. And I just think I'm just going to bow my head in shame. Man, I wish I could have done more. I wish I would have done more. But we're so wrapped up in our flesh. But one day we get to go home. He said he would. And we're going to cross over and just, we're going to be so humbled by his holiness and so humbled by how good he is and how great he is. But he kept his promise for his name's sake. He had mercy on my persecuted soul. He pardoned my iniquities. He's led me in the right paths. He's performed undeserved works of mercy and wonder. He will not forsake his own. We will be afflicted. We will, but we still need to preach the truth. And one day we get to go home. All for his name's sake. Praise his name. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day.